The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
It's time for our Friday panel now, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Breda Brown, PR director and co-founder of Unique Media, and musician and broadcaster Paddy Cullivan, to take a look at some of the stories making the news this week that we didn't get a chance to cover on the show. And as I mentioned in the menu to the show there, Breda, Laura Whitmore has been forced to defend herself. And this is in relation to an allegation that she's supposedly recruiting for the British Army. She's 35 years of age. She's from Bray, as far as I know. She is obviously very well known as the Love Island presenter. What is this about?
She's a fellow Wicklow woman, in fact. She was a guest on a podcast that was created by the British Army. And I think it's important to say she was a guest and not the presenter, because there was a little bit of confusion about that on social media during the week. And she essentially was talking about an awful lot of things, but body confidence was one of them. Again, on Twitter, when you read it during the week, it made it sound like she was on there and she was trying to recruit people to the British Army. She wasn't. What the British Army podcast was doing was trying to talk about body confidence and, yes, by extension, encourage people maybe to think about it as a career. She ended up getting an awful lot of criticism on Twitter. But the reason she got the criticism is because she put up a promotional tweet about the podcast first, quickly followed by a tweet where she was talking about John Hume and offering sympathy in relation to him, whose funeral was taking place on the same day. So the juxtaposition of both of those beside each other actually set Twitter on fire, essentially. Interestingly, most of the criticism seemed to come, I think, from her Irish audience. We need to bear in mind as well, she's worked in the UK for an awfully long time. So the UK didn't seem to be as pushed about it in terms of her fans and followers there, but it was very much about the Irish audience. So she tried to defend it. I do feel, looking back on it all now, it was probably poor judgment on her part in terms of the two tweets that were right beside each other. But also in the bigger picture scenario, she maybe should have put a little bit more thought into whether or not she should have taken part in the show or not.
Yeah, and I suppose it didn't help that the tweet was accompanied by a photo of her wearing a camouflage jumper and given the thumbs up beside a microphone. And I might get your thoughts, Paddy, because some of the commentary that she received online is just vicious. She was described as stupid, not Irish, easily bought. What were your thoughts when you read about this?
Well, I mean, Twitter is an open forum, you know what I mean? And people can say what they want on it. She went and tweeted about a British Army podcast. There's no other way of talking about it or saying what it is. And I know it was about body confidence and things like that, but, you know, one of the hashtags on it was Army Jobs. And the end of the podcast does have a serving soldier called Ella assuaging the fears of young women considering joining the army. So it's you know, it is what it is. And look, people can take money and do whatever they want and do that kind of thing. But it's out there in a public forum, and people in a public forum are allowed to give out about it. Now, I know Twitter, it's a toilet and it's full of graffiti. But it is one of those things where you have to think about it, especially the combination of the John Hume tweet, because one of the great images we saw of the brilliant John Hume was him actually telling a soldier in the British Army in the early 70s to stop shooting rubber bullets into crowds of peaceful protesters. So we have a relationship with the British Army that's a little bit fraught, I'm afraid. And the British Army, again, it's a bit like the poppy thing. They are a continually active army. They're not like peacekeepers like our army or a defensive army. That, you know, they're all over the world. They're in Yemen, they're in Iraq, they're in places like that. So it's quite a consistent thing. And I'm afraid if you get involved with that type of thing, you will expect a little bit of blowback.
Yeah. I think, and at risk of going into full-on work mode here, as well as as Laura Whitmore, I think the onus, though, is on the brand as well, in terms of the type of presenters or guests that they reach out to and use for these type of podcasts. So really, from their perspective, they should have been looking at it and going, well, actually, she is Irish. I know most of her work and career is in the UK. But so should we be thinking about this? Maybe she's not the right person for it. So there's probably two of them in it, to be fair.
I'm assuming she could have said no.
Of course she could have said no. I'm assuming she was paid for it as well. And the reason I'm saying that is because hashtag ad was at the very end of the tweet. So that means it was a paid for promoted ad, and her as an influencer, she has to use that if she's promoting something. Mm. So again, I'm assuming she was paid for it. You know, she'll maybe say a gig is a gig, but really sometimes when you have a profile and a reputation like that, you need to put more thought into the type of brands that you align yourself to.
And I want to pick your brains then. I'm going to ask you to put your work hat on again, because you spoke about her response, and she did come out afterwards and she said that she was was asked to be a guest on a podcast talking about body issues and being a female in a male-dominated industry, as I have done a lot in the past. The other guest was a young female soldier. If this looked like me trying to recruit people to the army, that is not the case at all. And to silence the critics, she added, I know to those who actually listen to the podcast, they'll understand, but in case there's any confusion, I wanted to clear that up. And is that a case, Breda, of if you're explaining, you're losing, and would she have been better off to just ignore all the commentary?
I think language is probably important in terms of how you address these things, and I'm not sure she did it in the best way here. Because at the end of the day, the podcast was created by the British Army for a number of reasons, to promote the organisation, obviously, but more than likely to recruit people. So don't go in blind and think and say afterwards, but I'm not the one trying to recruit them. You're taking part in a programme as such that is trying to recruit. And also her tweet also had hashtag army jobs, which again, apparently later on, she deleted that from the tweet, or deleted the tweet and put up a new one. So yes, when you're explaining, you're losing. But I think if you can use the right language to explain and don't sound like you're trying to defend a decision that you have made, well, then go for it.
Yeah. Let's move on then, Paddy, because another TV presenter found herself being, I suppose, the victim of an online onslaught. And this is Kirsty Allsop. And you might tell us how she got herself into a spot of bother.
Well, Kirsty Allsop, again, people using Twitter. I think there's a theme recurring here.
I think the lesson here is don't use Twitter.
Stay off.
Get off Twitter. Yeah, and just to return back to the thing, like, if the gig situation stays the way it is, even I'll join the British Army. But here, with Kirsty Allsop, she came out with this tweet effectively saying, if your job can be done from home, it can be done from abroad where wages are lower. If I had an office job, I'd want to be the first in the queue to get back to work and prove my worth to my employer. I am terrified but could be on the horizon for so many. So effectively, it's a kind of a lecture from Kirsty and, you know, get straight back into that office just so the employer knows your worth. It's a little bit grad grind, hard times, Charles Dickens Britain. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm wondering, does she want to empty the houses so she can go look at them again with Phil? but it got a huge reaction. People saying it's not as easy as that and all of this. And many people are working from home and all of this. And she tried to walk it back and say, well, I didn't mean that. I just mean that, you know, wouldn't it be great for things to get back to normal and all of this. So she's in big trouble for suggesting that somehow we need to prove our worth to our employers. Other people have said, look, we've been working at home for months and we've actually worked harder and worked better. And when we work, you know, our work is proving ourselves to our employer. So it was a bit of a strange thing. And again, a weird thing coming from her, a bit out of sorts for what she does for a living.
Although she does have a little bit of form in this sense as well. She has come out a few times before giving out, saying she smashed her kids' iPads because they flouted the house rules. She also told women in their late 20s, don't wait if you want to have kids, have them now. So she's done this before, but I found that, again, going back to language, her choice of words and the way she expresses herself is usually the problem. And I was on her Twitter feed earlier on today, and just as Paddy said, she's now trying to backtrack out of everything. So just this stream of her saying, well, I didn't mean that. What I meant was... So again, think before you post.
Yeah, and I mean, she's a clever lady, and I wonder, does she thrive on this kind of backlash? I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity, as they say.
Well, the last tweet she put up there was that she's coming off Twitter for a while because she can't deal with it all. But the irony of all of this is her husband had coronavirus and actually suffered really badly with it. So again, you just sort of have to wonder what's going on in her head.
She just wants him out of the house now.
And you talk about that backtracking, and Paddy, she did come out and she did acknowledge that working from home can be positive or negative depending on your situation. But again, she just seemed to be backpedaling, didn't she?
It is backpedaling. She's saying, I'm not saying working from home doesn't have benefits. My fear is about employers' behaviour, not employees. Working from home works beautifully for some and is hellish for others. But my cynicism, again, is about the employers. But again, that doesn't explain anything to me. Why are like she was saying, another point she said was, if you keep working from home, it's out of sight, out of mind. From what I can see, there's a permanent Zoom meeting going on where the eyeballs are on you all day long, even if you're at home. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where she's coming from here. Again, the other thing is, like, why get involved? And I do feel Twitter is sometimes, people have a bit of downtime and they get a bit bored. I used to do this myself, and you just say something and all of a sudden there's an onslaught. And really, you know, let's put that switch on in our heads. You know, will I say it or will I just leave it?
Yeah,
leaving it is always better.
My Twitter feed is strictly professional. It's just all of the grim tales that I cover down in the courts. And I don't start talking about what I'm watching on television because you're just asking for trouble. Let's talk about that devastating blast in Beirut then during the week, Breda. I'm sure you've seen the pictures and the videos coming from the Lebanese capital. And we now have, I suppose the focus is now shifting to the investigations to what happened. And we've 16 people arrested.
And the video, I think, you know, a picture tells a thousand words, but so does video if you can capture the right moment. And it was just phenomenal watching it. And the impact, it actually reminded me of the videos from 9/11 at the time, where just suddenly something instantaneously happened. So a blame game has now started as to who is at fault, essentially. You know, it's something that's obviously going to run and run, because none of the Lebanese leaders have resigned. Emmanuel Macron from the French president was over there actually just during this week, and is basically saying the regime now needs to change and they have an opportunity to do it. So I think investigations will go on, but who knows what way it's going to actually turn out. Interestingly, the it turns out that it was the nitrate, what do they call it?
Ammonia nitrate.
Ammonia nitrate was actually taken off a ship and held in a storehouse for about 6 years. The reason, it was a Russian ship, it was taken off 6 years ago because the ship had apparently failed safety inspections. And it was just held there. And they had gone on to the Russian owner a couple of times to sort of say, come back and get it, or we'll export it, or we'll do whatever with it. Nothing happened. They just left it there. So you can imagine that the investigation is literally just going to turn into one person blaming the other over the next while.
It's truly incredible, Paddy, isn't it? And just to put things into perspective, you mentioned ammonium nitrate. 2,750 tonnes of it ignited, and that's what caused the blasts. And to put that into perspective, the Oklahoma City bomber, Timothy McVeigh, in 1995, when he blew up a federal building in downtown Oklahoma, killing 168 people, he used 2 tonnes. So compare that with 2,750 tonnes of ammonium nitrate. It's truly extraordinary. Dozens of people are still missing. But the rescuers, well, the people who were taking part in the rescue now feel that they're not going to be, they're not likely to rescue any more people from the rubble.
No. And I mean, the bizarre thing was, it was incredible to see it. And the reason we saw it so starkly, which was this mad kind of mushroom cloud that was the shockwave that went right through the entire city. So it looks like a lot of the city is intact, but in fact, huge damage was done. It's because there's an initial explosion. Ammonium nitrate doesn't go up by itself. There was another explosion. It has to react to heat. So something went on and it set off the ammonium nitrate and this dreadful thing happened. But it's a terrible thing to have happened, but they won't find anybody else, I'm sure, because it was so complete. If you see the explosion, it just flattened an entire part of the city. But Macron is there, and already 60,000 signatures have been signed to try and get him to run, or France to come back in and have a 10-year mandate to run Lebanon again, because, of course, Lebanon and Syria and all of those are former French colonies. So it's the whole thing is very dodgy. There was a 6-year attempt to try and get the judiciary of the city to try and get rid of the ammonium nitrate or put it somewhere. It's just a terrible story all around.
You mentioned the French president, Macron, earlier, and Paddy's referenced him too. And I don't know if you saw, Breda, the walkabout that he went around in Beirut, where he was challenged by a protester. It was a very powerful clip. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out, where she is screaming that nobody cares about us. Nobody cares about us. Nobody is leading us. The people of Beirut, the ordinary citizens, are on the streets clearing rubble, bringing sweeping brushes onto the streets. There just doesn't seem to be any leadership whatsoever.
And if anything, at least it will highlight the plight of what is exactly going on in the country. And I think he hugged somebody as well, which again...
That's
unusual, obviously, in the current times as well. But one of the videos as well worth looking at is the bride, who was having her wedding video done just before she was due to go and get married. It's only about a minute long. And everything is beautiful. She's beautiful. The location is gorgeous. And next thing, bang. And the whole thing changes. And just literally within the space of 1 second, how people's lives and people's days change.
Yeah, 250,000 people left without homes to live in, and clearly Lebanon is already suffering from an economic meltdown, and of course the hospitals were already quite busy trying to deal with the coronavirus. So it's very obvious that the country is now in dire need of international aid, Paddy, and there's a real worry that it'll be going into very corrupt hands.
Terrible. And I mean, of course, you know, we have beautiful Lebanese restaurants in Dublin. It's a magnificent country, a fertile country with beautiful food and cuisine. It was a holiday resort. It was called the Paris of the Middle East. And again, unfortunately, it's a basket case, a little bit like many of the other countries in the Middle East, in no small part because of the Western involvement and the Sykes-Picot Agreement. Let's never forget how Britain and France divided up the Ottoman Empire and created these countries that couldn't possibly work.
Mm. Breed, I want to ask you, then we'll move on, because I want to ask you about something else that caught our eye during the week. I'm from Barna, a village just outside Galway City, and over the past few weeks, people have been noticing cable ties on their gates and outside their homes and chalk markings. And it turns out that this actually could be related to dog napping, criminal operation. And this is widespread, pretty widespread in the UK. And you might walk us through it.
So it's widespread in the UK, and it turns out it's actually happening here quite a lot. And the Gardaí launched a campaign just recently to say that if you think your animal has been subjected to a dog napping or stolen, to let them know, because apparently they're hearing anecdotally that an awful lot of dogs are being stolen, either stolen to order or just stolen in general so they can be sold on. But their official records aren't matching that. So they want people to come forward. So what's happening is that, again, apparently criminals are looking for opportunities to steal dogs. And to be honest, I don't think dog napping is anything new. I think the reason it has probably increased a little bit more over the past couple of months is because criminals need to look at new opportunities to engage in their activities, because people are at home all the time, so they can't get into breaking and entering house burglaries. And they probably can't, for most of the time, they couldn't travel around the country. So they were looking for other ways maybe to engage in criminal activity. Dog napping is quite handy. You can just wander around, keep an eye out, and if the dog is in the garden or, you know, a particular dog that they're looking for, they can go after it. And there is a black market for it.
They seem like relatively sophisticated operations where you clearly have surveillance going on if they're leaving markings at various properties.
Markings at the properties, cable ties. The other one, though, is drones. Apparently some drones are being used by some criminals as well, again, to, you know, case an area and have a look and see exactly what's going on. So again, we've organisations like the DSPCA and a number of others who have come out and said, obviously just mind your animals, but also make sure that they're microchipped. So if you're supposed to microchip it, it is a legal requirement. If it's microchipped, at least then there's an opportunity potentially, if they find the animal at some point, to get it back to its owner.
Yeah, well, God bless them if they try and take our alley. She put up a fight. Paddy, we all know about Donald Trump's battles with Twitter and now TikTok, but Facebook have also stepped into the ring.
Yes, Facebook have stepped in and temporarily blocked a video which includes false claims that a group of people is immune from COVID-19. Donald Trump said that children are virtually immune from COVID-19. Now, I find this a bit interesting as well, because, again, Twitter and Facebook are meant to have a kind of a hands-off approach to things like this. People say untrue stuff all the time on Twitter and Facebook. And the Donald, and I hate to say this, and I know this will be unpopular with certain people, he's not wrong. If you say the children are virtually immune to COVID-19, it has been proven that they are less susceptible to it than adults. And that's just a feature of COVID-19 itself. Mm. So taking off a Donald comment because it's untrue, I mean, you'd have to probably take off his entire Twitter feed, but you'd also have to take off a lot of people's Twitter feeds, including Democrat politicians. And unfortunately, this thing smacks a little bit to me of politicization. And you know, we can talk about the danger in the coronavirus of saying things that are untrue, but it has been proven, this thing, to be. And what I always say about Donald Trump, and I said this from 2016, and I got kind of ridden out of town for it. I've always said you can take Donald Trump down by just what he says. You don't have to make up stuff, and you don't have to say something's fake that isn't fake. You don't have to say he's lying when he's not lying, or telling or using a kind of syntax that can be taken as basically factual. You can get him on his lies, but don't make up stuff about him.
But
because all you do is engender sympathy for him.
You know, he's calling this censorship by Twitter and by Facebook. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, he's trying to close down TikTok. So to me, is that not censorship? And what's the reason why he's doing that? We all know the reasons why he's doing it. And also, interestingly, he relies hugely on Twitter to get his message out there. His audience follows him on Twitter. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's quite a bold move by Facebook and Twitter, I think, given everything that has gone on between them and Trump over the past couple of months. But it'll run and run, and it'll get worse between now and obviously the election as well, which is in November, you know.
Yeah, and look, we've spoken about it at great length on the show. I mean, he is the president of the United States. He's supposed to be leading there.
Supposed to be.
So when he comes up with any commentary around coronavirus, we've all heard about his relationship with a certain doctor who I won't mention on the show, but this person has wild conspiracy theories and thinks that it's all, that the coronavirus is all fake and that we're all immune from it, apparently. But look, Breida Brown, co-founder and communications director with Unique Media, and Paddy Cullivan, musician and broadcaster. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. Thank you both for joining us for this week's Friday panel.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.